As you will have undoubtedly been aware of, this story, the one you are listening to now, is not being told by the voice that told it first. While the original narrator of the fairy tale oversaw the comings and goings of all the characters and faithfully related them to you in rhyme, their life after the story took a different path. And we must acknowledge they were not consulted to be the voice of this documentary, for reasons you shall soon become aware of. For the record, can you state your name?
Once I spoke of fate and shoe, now I'm shelved for ages too.
You're aware this interview is being conducted for a documentary you are not narrating?
Yes, indeed. I'm quite aware. My voice was deemed too self-aware.
When did you stop being the voice of history and start being a children's author?
The day they learned, much to my cost, I rhyme whether I wish or not.
Aha! There you are! My golden goose! My little moneymaker! Sit up, sit up! Put a smile on your face, darling! This microphone's on and it can capture regret.
You're their publisher?
That's right! Custodian of the internationally recognized children's author of over 100 brilliantly penned rhyming tales.
I wish to write of grief and rot, of things that ice cream sales do not, of crowns that tilt and systems crack, not ducks that quack and then quack back.
So, are you saying you want to write serious fiction?
No, they all say that. Take no heed. Their last rhyming badger book outsold 3 prize-winning memoirs.
Popularity's a fickle thing. It pats you while you slowly sting.
I'm curious. Why weren't you asked to narrate this documentary?
I once declared what was the truth. Now marketing prefers the youth. They trust my voice when elves appear, but doubt me when I want to sneer.
Ah, you see, there, that's why you're the best. You can take anything and turn it into a rhyme. You're brilliant, darling. Just brilliant. And the money we're making, puts those royals to shame.
Does it bother you, hearing this fairy tale world you faithfully narrated, re-examined by another voice?
It wounds me, yes, but not with spite. Just footnotes where my name was, right?
Hey, look, you can be as petulant as you want, but remember, we've got a deal on rhyming horses of history. Now, that will have gravitas, but will also feature some of the cutest hooves you've ever seen.
I cannot help the rhyme, you see, but I can choose what ought to be.
Did you ever imagine the fairy tale would continue like this?
I hoped it wouldn't prove me wrong, but endings fade, the middle's long.
Before we move on, I want to ask about what it was actually like to be the voice of one of the most famous fairy tales ever told on Triple B FM. Did you understand, at the time, what your voice would become?
At first I thought it merely sound, a tale unmoored, a story crowned. I spoke, they listened, off it flew. I did not think the tale was glue.
But it did. It defined childhoods, educations, entire understandings of morality.
I lent my tone to fate and wit, never believing I was it. Yet soon I found, to my surprise, my voice became the lullabies.
In 63 languages, by the way! Royalties through the roof!
Was there pressure, knowing that anything you said would be taken as truth?
The danger lies not in the speech, but who decides what tales can reach. I rhymed of hope and hardship small. They trim the darker bits to fall.
Do you feel responsible for what people believe fairy tales are meant to teach?
I carry the guilt that footnotes bear, invisible, but always there. For every neatly concluded plight, a truth was filed away from sight.
Now, here you are being interviewed about the story rather than telling it. You've said you'd rather be doing something else other than children's rhyming books. What else would you want to be involved in?
I'd like to chase the facts untold, where systems creak and powers sold. I'd write of hunger dressed as law, of crowns that crack behind decor.
No, you mean metaphorically, or in a nice iambic pentameter, right?
No, I mean ink that does not sing, cold prose, the kind that cuts a thing.
Do you mean journalism?
Yes, to stand where stories break apart and ask whose silence played a part, to trace the why, not sell the wow, to call the name out, that is how.
And fiction?
I long to write a tale unkind, where endings fail and truths unwind, a novel weighty, slow and dark, that leaves no room for moral spark.
Darling, we tested your attempt at a serious novel. Remember, focus groups described it as emotionally aggressive and distinctively detached.
The truth often is, I fear, but that's why grown-ups need it here.
Do you think your voice, the one bound to rhyme, will ever be allowed that kind of work?
A curse, perhaps, or discipline. Each line I forge must earn its skin. If truth survives constraint and form, perhaps it's strong enough to weather the storm.
I want to come back to something we spoke about earlier. So, you really weren't asked to narrate this documentary?
No, the call did not arrive. No doubt for fear I'd make it rhyme.
Do you resent that?
Resentment is too loud a word. More like a verse that goes unheard.
Look, this has been great and all, but we need to wrap this up shortly. Don't forget, darling, there's a deadline on The Brave, Brave Budgie Flew Merrily.
Okay. I thought we had more time. Final question. If you were allowed to narrate this story, now, what would you say?
I'd say that tales do not conclude. They merely pause where truth eludes. And those who claim the end was neat forgot who paid to keep it sweet.
So the interview with a colleague concludes. The original narrator returns to their deadlines, their dictated meter, and their carefully packaged imagination. They were once the voice that guided generations through pumpkins, slippers, fate and chance. But this has now stereotyped their career. So, in honour of them, I'd like to finish this part in rhyme. And so we leave the teller's tale, the voice we'd heard behind a veil. They spoke in rhyme, they spoke in rule, they learned that rhyme can be a tool. A gift, a cage, a branded sound, a line that loops and circles round. They wish to speak of power bare, of systems built without a glare, but found that worlds prefer the neat, the softly wrapped, the sugar sweet. Stories, however, do not disappear when their narrators are sidelined. They migrate. They re-emerge in new voices and new formats. Which brings us to those who have learned this lesson well. While one voice has been constrained by rhyme and publishing schedules, others have discovered that the story itself can be monetized fragment by fragment. In the years following the royal wedding, public interest in Cinderella did not fade. It diversified. Where once the story was told about her, it is now told around her, by those who knew her before the crown. Cinderella's stepsisters have since discovered that proximity can be profitable. When we reached out to them, they declined a traditional interview. They did, however, offer full access to a live streaming broadcast of their podcast. We accepted and sat in their studio they had set up in their bedroom.
Hey, Royal Watchers! Welcome to another episode of Glass Half Full or Fake.
Today's segment, before she was princess, she was totes problematic.
The broadcast of their live stream podcast begins at 10:03 a.m. By 10:04, 12,000 people are watching.
Let's talk about Cinderella's kindness, because as we all know, context matters.
Right? Like, she wasn't kind. She was, I guess, like, strategically needy. All of that, oh my God, poor me, I had to wash and clean. Why won't, like, anybody just save me?
Yeah, and remember when she cried over the potato soup? Potato soup, really? Give me a break.
Anyone who cries over a vegetable deserves to be treated like that. Yeah, it was like pure attention-seeking behaviour.
Exactly. And now suddenly she's resilient. A lady who's waited on hand and foot, doesn't even brush her own teeth. One servant holds the brush and another moves her head side to side.
Oh, keep those comments coming in. Look, here's an interesting one.
As the sisters had declined a formal interview, we instead submitted questions via their podcast discussion board. We asked whether these accounts of Cinderella were accurate.
Accurate is... It's such a limiting word. Like, what actually is accurate? Whose truth is accurate? And what even is the truth anyway? Is it something written down or something that gets remembered?
You tell them, sis. Absolutely. We deal in emotional truth, the kind people feel, not just the kind they fact check.
Exactly. Facts are static, but feelings evolve, and we're here to reflect that evolution in real time.
And let's be honest, no one logs on for spreadsheets. They log on for stories. Stories from those who know.
Yeah, spreadsheets are for nerds. And besides, if enough people relate to something, doesn't that just make it true in its own right anyway?
We're not stodgy historians. We're purveyors of lived experiences.
Curators of perspective. And unlike certain princess narratives, we don't pretend that ours are perfect.
We posted a question asking if they could provide verifiable evidence to support their claims. This resulted in the following interaction.
Hang on, I'm just going to read this last comment. Can you provide verifiable evidence?
Wow,
okay, we're doing that now?
I love how suddenly everyone's an investigative journalist.
Right? Like, when did a podcast need actual evidence?
We're not court stenographers, you know. We didn't write down every moment of the princess's life.
Yeah, if you want documents, go down to the town hall and ask to visit their planning archives.
Okay, you know what? We're just going to take a really quick break.
And then we'll come back with something you're actually here for.
Stay right there. We'll be back in a minute.
Whew. That was a mistake.
We should have ignored that question.
Yeah, we never normally respond to that kind of question.
It makes us look defensive, argumentative, horrible.
I mean, we are defensive, argumentative, and horrible.
Not on air.
Okay, that's fair enough. Okay, so we need to fix this.
Agreed. We need to pivot back to what the viewers want.
Yeah, more of me.
No, us, dishing on Cinderella.
Okay, so I reckon we need to go heavier, like more in-depth.
We need to be much more specific.
That's right. They're not lawyers. People don't care about evidence. They care about detail.
Exactly. Details feel true.
Okay, how about we dive into her teenage years? They were great. She was such a dork.
Yes.
Remember her awkward phase and all that emotional instability?
All that crying in the pantry. Poor me, poor me.
Yes, that's it. We need to say it like it's obvious.
No need for proof, just us saying it like it is. How we remember those days.
Okay, so no more engaging with questions about evidence.
Ever.
Okay, we're definitely not here to defend the story.
We are the story.
Yeah. If only Mum would recognise us like she used to.
Mum. Think she's better than us? Look at how many followers we have. Who needs her?
Yeah, who needs her? Ooh. Okay, how about we engage with a caller? You know, like we chatted about during last week's show.
Great idea. See if we can get any more dirt on the princess from an insider.
Back on in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Glass Half Full or Fake. So today we thought we'd do something a little different.
Yeah, we've had so many messages from all of you, which is great.
Sure is. But today we thought we'd open the lines to hear from you.
That's right, a live call-in.
If you've got a question, a story, or a take on Cinderella, you know, an insider, who can tell us how she swans about the palace all day,
then we want to hear it.
And we already have someone waiting.
Let's bring them in.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Kyle. I've been commenting on the discussion thread.
Of course you have. We love an engaged listener.
Oh, and I've watched every stream.
Amazing. Dedication.
And I wanted to say, and I think it's really interesting how you talk about her before she became a princess.
Aw, thank you.
It makes me feel more, real. Like, I know all about you both.
Well, imagination's a powerful thing, Kyle.
Yeah, I've been taking notes during every episode. Keep track of everything you say, noting everything about you both.
You take notes? Notes about us? What kind of things do you note down?
Oh, just things you said. You know, where everything is in your house, where the kitchen is, with the pantry off to the side, where the back entrance to your yard is. Just basic things, really.
Okay, so fun details, Kyle.
Let's just keep things a little bit more general.
Oh, I just thought, since you're nearby...
Nearby?
Tanunda's not that big and Google Maps is brilliant.
Okay, so Kyle, what's your question?
I just want to get to know you both properly, not just through the stream.
That's not really how this works.
Yeah, this is an online space.
Oh, I know, but I think we'd get along.
So, Kyle, do you have a question about Cinderella?
Yes. Do you think she'd recognise you now?
That's an interesting question.
And one that we're going to answer right after we get back from this short break. Okay, thanks for phoning in, Kyle. Bye!
Bye.
Okay, wow. That was a bit weird.
Yeah, I don't think we should do that again.
Agree.
And back in 3, 2...
Welcome back to Glass Half Full or Fake. Where were we?
Cinderella before the crown. She was totally desperate for attention.
And very aware of how to get it.
The sisters continued their live podcast constantly criticising Cinderella. The stream concludes at 10:19 a.m. Clipped, edited and uploaded by 10:23. Views continue to rise during the entire episode. When asked later whether they worry about consequences, the sisters declined to answer directly. Instead, they posted a follow-up video titled Addressing the Narrative. It trended within the hour. Once dismissed as secondary figures in a larger story, they have achieved something rare. Control. Not of events, but of interpretation. And in this kingdom, that may be more powerful than any crown.